Shalom. I am Jeff Mills, and you are listening to the weekly Shabbat teaching of Congregation Beit HaEmet, brought to you by HaEmet Ministries, where we encourage you to rethink, relearn, and return to the pure word and way of our Elohim. For more teachings, resources, and information about HaEmet Ministries, please visit our website at www.haemet.org. That's www.haemet.org. Blessings, and may our Abba continue to guide you and lead you into all truth. Shabbat Shalom. What are you prepared to endure? What if a situation occurs in your life, and no matter how faithful you are and how strong your belief is, that situation continues day after day, month after month, and even year after year? Will you hold on? Will your faith waver? Will your trust begin to fade? Will your hope disappear? You know, we all have situations and seasons in our life. And there are things that occur that are difficult. And it's hard to wake up every single morning knowing that you're facing that same situation that just refuses to go away. Let's turn over to John chapter 5 and verse 1. John chapter 5 and verse 1. After this, there was a festival of the Yehudim, and Yehoshua went up to Jerusalem. And in Jerusalem at the sheep gate, there is a pool, which is called in Hebrew Beit Zata, having five porches. In these were lying a great number of those who were sick, blind, crippled, paralyzed, waiting for the stirring of the water. For a messenger was going down at a certain time into the pool, and was stirring the water. Whoever stepped in first, then, after the stirring of the water, became well of whatever disease he had. And a certain man was there who had a sickness 38 years. 38 years. What if this were you? Imagine lying there day after day, watching and waiting. Imagine seeing all of the people who were able to step into the pool, be healed, and having faith that someday, it would be your turn. Someday everything would turn around. Imagine those who stepped around you to get to the pool and never once offering to put you in their place, even stepping over you to reach the water first. Imagine crying out over and over and over again, but still no relief. No answer, no sign. Hope begins to fade. Faith grows weak, and you are not even sure of what you believe and trust in anymore. Life is one day of disappointment after another, and you sink into despair. and helplessness. And I know that some of you have experienced this. I've experienced times myself when I found myself wondering, will this ever end? Will this ever turn around? Will there ever be happiness again? Will there ever be joy again? Will there ever be feeling whole again? You know, because we are flesh and because our flesh is weak, we begin to doubt. And we begin to wonder if our Abba is even listening to us at all and if he hears us. Let's continue in verse 6 of John 5. When Yehoshua saw him lying there, and knowing that he already had been a long time, he said to him, "Do you wish to become well?" The sick man answered him, "Master, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred, but while I am coming, another steps down before me." Yehoshua said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man became well, and he took up his bed and was walking. Now it was Sabbath on that day. After all that time, this man was finally rewarded for his faithfulness. But what had he done for 38 years? 38 long years, day in, day out, lying by the pool. He endured. He was persistent and he did not give up. How long are you prepared to endure? And how much will you endure? The children of Israel endured years of being in bondage before they were freed. How many of them cried out year after year? Suffering as slaves with hard and bitter bondage placed on them. Day after day, waking up knowing that their only purpose was to serve Paro. Did they give up hope? Did they lose faith? Did they believe that they would ever be set free? What about when Paro even began to take their children and murder them? How do you even go on in situations like that? Having your children ripped from your arms. Yet Yahweh freed them by his mighty hand and took them out into the wilderness. And their problems were finally over. Or were they? They immediately began to complain. Can you believe that? Yahweh set them free and took them out of the situation they were in. And the children of Israel whined and complained about their circumstances. They missed Egypt. There wasn't any meat. They wanted to turn around. They were thirsty, and Moshe only took them out into the wilderness to let them die. What a bunch of whiny, complaining babies they were. The whole nation. Guess what? That is us. And I don't mean just people out in the world. I'm talking about those who have been called out and set free from the world, just like the children of Israel were. We're spoiled. We're spoiled and we're used to having our comforts around us. And if any of them are taken away or something happens, we immediately start to whine and complain about how difficult our lives are when all of us are blessed beyond belief. And there are a lot of people in this world that can't walk to the faucet and turn it on and have running water, let alone hot water. Or a refrigerator sitting in their kitchen to keep their food from spoiling. Yeah, we're spoiled. Let's turn to Luke 6, verse 46. Luke 6, verse 46. But why do you call me Master, Master, and do not do what I say? Everyone who is coming to me and is hearing my words and is doing them, I shall show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid a foundation on the rock. And when a flood came, the stream burst against that house, but was unable to shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But the one hearing and not doing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream burst, and immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great. What is Yeshua talking about here? Those who dig deep. Those who dig in and lay their foundation on the rock. And we know who that rock is, don't we? What are these people preparing for that dig in and build on the rock? They are building something that will be strong and something that will stand. They are setting themselves up to endure. And what about the other ones Yeshua mentions here? What are they setting themselves up for? They are setting themselves up for failure. And when trouble comes, what they have built collapses on top of them. Are we planning to endure? And do we have that thought in our mind? In the things that we do, and the decisions we make, and the plans we make? Or are we setting ourselves up for failure? You know, we have to face things in this life that are uncomfortable. And we have to face things that are hard. There's no way around that. Yahweh shows us the reality and the truth of this world around us. And if you are not prepared to have your eyes opened and see things as they really are, you will never endure. We can't look at the world through some, made-up reality that doesn't exist, something that's in our own mind. You know, the world can be a harsh place, and people suffer through very uncomfortable situations and circumstances. And it doesn't mean that Yah is going to save us out of every single one of those. Sometimes people bring things on themselves, and there are consequences for disobedience and for transgressing the Torah. Okay, let's turn to James, or Yaakov, chapter 5, verse 7. James chapter 5 and verse 7. So, brothers, be patient until the coming of the Master. Endure. See, the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You too, be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Master has drawn near. Do not grumble against each other, brothers, lest you be judged. See, the judge is standing at the door. My brothers, as an example of suffering and patience, take the prophets who spoke in the name of Yahweh. See, we call those blessed who endure. You have heard of the endurance of Iyov, Job, and saw the purpose of Yahweh, that he is very sympathetic and compassionate. Well, if we were in Job's place, we might be wondering how sympathetic and compassionate Yahweh was to let that happen to us. You know, we get distracted and we get caught up in things that we shouldn't. We let the world affect our thoughts, our attitudes, our values, and the way we see things, and it shouldn't be so. At the least little sign of discomfort, we start looking for relief and a way out. Have you ever stopped to think that Yahweh may be telling you to just endure? Now, can we accept when he tells us to just be still? Quit running around all over the place. Quit being anxious. Quit desperately searching for a way out and just be still. There are things we can only learn by enduring. And if you cannot endure what is put on you, then you will never grow and develop into the person that Yahweh wants you to be. Those situations and circumstances that he puts on us are for a reason. And there are things we have to learn. And sometimes the only way we will grow and move forward is when he puts us in a situation that forces us to. And when we decide to take things into our own hands, we are making a choice not to endure. And we may very well be going against what Yahweh's wishes for us really are. Now, he told Yehuda that they were going into captivity in Babylon, but some of them did not want to accept that, did they? They had other plans, and they thought they had a way out of that situation all figured out for themselves. Let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 42 and begin in verse 10. Jeremiah 42 and verse 10. If you would indeed stay in this land, then I shall build you and not pull you down, and I shall plant you and not pluck you up. For I have relented of the evil I have done to you. Do not be afraid of the sovereign of Babel, of whom you are afraid. Do not be afraid of him, declares Yahweh, for I am with you to save you and deliver you from his hand. and I shall show you compassion, so that he has compassion on you and lets you return to your own land. But if you say, we are not staying in this land, and so disobey the voice of Yahweh your Elohim, saying, no, but we are going to the land of Mitzrayim, Egypt, so that we see no fighting, nor hear the sound of the ram's horn, nor hunger for bread, and there we shall stay. Then hear the word of Yahweh, O remnant of Yehuda. Thus said Yahweh Zavaot, the Elohim of Israel, if you indeed set your faces to enter Mitzrayim and shall go to sojourn there, then it shall be that the sword which you feared overtakes you there in the land of Mitzrayim, and the scarcity of food of which you were afraid clings to you there in Mitzrayim, and there you die. And so it shall be with all the men who set their faces to go to Mitzrayim to sojourn there. They shall die by the sword, by scarcity of food, and by pestilence. And not one of them shall survive or escape from the evil I am bringing upon them. For thus said Yahweh Zavaot, Yahweh of hosts, the Elohim of Israel, as my displeasure and my wrath have been poured out on the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so shall my wrath be poured out on you when you enter Mitzrayim. And you shall be an oath and an astonishment and a curse and a reproach, and you shall see this place no more. Yahweh has spoken about you, O remnant of Yehuda. Do not go to Mitzrayim. Know for certain that I have warned you this day, for you deceived yourselves when you sent me to Yahweh your Elohim, saying, pray for us to Yahweh our Elohim, and according to all that Yahweh your Elohim says, so declare to us, and we shall do it. So I have declared to you today, but you have not obeyed the voice of Yahweh your Elohim in all which he has sent me to you. And now know for certain that you shall die by the sword, by scarcity of food, and by pestilence in the place where you have desired to go to sojourn. If we go against what Yahweh's will is for us, will any good come of it? Why is it that even though we see clear signs that he is against what we're doing, and obstacle after obstacle is placed in our path, we still keep trying, stubbornly trying to do what we want to do? There is a point where he just lets us take our own path. And that never ends well, does it? Did it end well for those people who ignored Yahweh's warning and went to Egypt? Let's look at Jeremiah 44, beginning in verse 26. Jeremiah 44 and verse 26. Therefore, hear the word of Yahweh, all Yehuda who are dwelling in the land of Mitzrayim. See, I have sworn by my great name, declares Yahweh. My name shall no longer be called upon by the mouth of any man of Yehuda in all the land of Mitzrayim, saying, as the Master Yahweh lives. See, I am watching over them for evil and not for good. And all the men of Yehuda who are in the land of Mitzrayim shall be consumed by the sword and by scarcity of food until they come to an end. And those who escape the sword, few in number, shall return from the land of Mitzrayim to the land of Yehuda, and all the remnant of Yehuda who came into the land of Mitzrayim to sojourn there shall know whose word is established, mine or theirs. And this is the sign to you, declares Yahweh, that I am punishing you in this place, so that you know that my words are certainly established against you for evil. Thus said Yahweh, see, I am giving Pharaoh Hophra, sovereign of Mitzrayim, into the hand of his enemies and into the hand of those who seek his life. As I gave Zedekiah, sovereign of Yehudah, into the hand of Nebuchadrezzar, sovereign of Babel, his enemy who sought his life. Is it better to endure what our Abba is asking us to do, or to go out on our own and bring trouble upon ourselves? What did our Messiah endure for us? Now, how can anything that is ever put on us in this life compare to what he endured? Now, what right do we have to complain? What right do we have to whine and feel sorry for ourselves? And, you know, some people like to go out and let the whole world know that they're suffering and they're not happy. You know, the next time you start feeling sorry for yourself, think about what happened to Yeshua from his arrest until his death. That was caused by all of us. We are all responsible. We find it hard to endure our own situations and circumstances. And he endured what he did because of a circumstance and situation that was not even his to bear. But he took it on anyway. And he endured all that was put upon him, never asking whether it was fair or unfair. Have you ever known a quitter? At the first sign of difficulty, they throw their hands up in the air and they just give up. There is no will in them to endure. How many days did Eov sit in the ashes? His wife even told him to curse Yahweh and die, but Eov endured. He endured until he learned what Yahweh wanted him to see. And how many of us are willing to dress in sackcloth and sit in a pile of ashes? As the people of Yahweh, we must be careful not to get into an attitude and mindset of entitlement. Yahweh is not a respecter of persons, and we are not immune to having things put on us that we must endure. Let's turn over to Luke 12 and verse 16. Luke 12 and verse 16. He then spoke a parable to them, saying, the land of a certain rich man yielded well. And he was reasoning within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room to store my crops? And he said, I'm going to do this, pull down my storehouses and build greater, and store all my crops and my goods there, then say to myself, life, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, rejoice. But Elohim said to him, you mindless one, this night your life shall be demanded from you, and who shall own what you have prepared. When we are enjoying the blessings of Yahweh, it is a great responsibility. When things are really good, we can start to get puffed up with ourselves. Oh, we can feel real prideful and arrogant, thinking everything that is going great in our lives is because of us and what we're doing. Pride and vanity begin to creep in, and we start to forget where our provision really comes from. And there is a tendency to grow complacent and to assume that the blessings we are enjoying in our lives at that particular time will always be there. What did Eov do wrong? What particular transgression did he commit? Did he deserve the test that was put on him? Was Yahweh unfair in what he did? Why did he allow not one, but a number of tests and situations to come upon Eov? One test can be trying enough, but Eov had a series of situations that came upon him all at the same time. And that has happened to some of us, and myself and other people I know. And what is one of the things you always hear people say when things come right on the heels of one another? Well, when it rains, it pours. It certainly poured on Eov, didn't it? Let's turn to Job, Eov, chapter 1 and verse 8. Job 1 and verse 8. And Yahweh said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Eov, that there is none like him on the earth? A perfect and straight man, one who fears Elohim and turns aside from evil?" And Satan answered Yahweh and said, "Is Eov fearing Elohim for naught? Have you not made a hedge around him and around his household and around all that he has on every side? You've blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But stretch out your hand, please, and strike all that he has, if he would not curse you to your face." And Yahweh said to Satan, "See, all that he has is in your hand, only do not lay a hand on himself." And Satan went out from the presence of Yahweh. Why would Yahweh even entertain HaSatan's request? He knows what a lying, cunning, sly deceiver Satan is. Yahweh allowed Eov to be tested, and he used Satan to do the testing. Yahweh tells us he will test us, but he does not tell us how it will come about, does he? He allowed Satan to test Yeshua too. If we are obedient servants of Yahweh, walking in his Torah, then it only stands to reason that our time to be tested will come. If Abba allowed his son to be tested, then why would we think that we would not be? We are not entitled to immunity because we are his people. We have an even greater risk and chance of testing because we set ourselves apart to him. We set a mark on ourselves when we set ourselves apart to him. There is an even greater danger of growing complacent among those who have grown up learning to walk in Torah from the time they were children. And we must all remember that the blessing and promises that Yahweh makes to his people are conditional. We can be broken off just as easily as we are grafted in. Turn to Romans chapter 11 and verse 16. Romans chapter 11 and verse 16. Now, if the first fruit is set apart, the lump is also. And if the root is set apart, so are the branches. And if some of the branches were broken off, and you, being a wild olive tree, have been grafted in among them, and came to share the root and fatness of the olive tree, do not boast against the branches. And if you boast, remember, you do not bear the root, but the root bears you. You shall say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Good. By unbelief they were broken off, and you stand by belief. Do not be arrogant, but fear. For if Elohim did not spare the natural branches, he might not spare you either. If you were grafting a branch onto a good, strong tree, would you want a weak branch that you knew was going to use up resources and eventually die? Or would you want a stout, strong branch that would add strength and health to the trunk of the good, strong tree? You would want a branch that you knew would endure, a branch that would remain attached and grow no matter what situations the tree went through, a branch that would last and hold up to whatever weight and burden was placed on it. Some endure and some do not. It depends on how well we are rooted and what foundation we are building on. The tests will come. The trials will come, and all whom Yahweh calls out and who set themselves apart to him will have to endure. Abba knows that not all of those who answer his call will make it to the end. And some people have been walking in the way for several years, and then a test comes along that they just can't endure, and they fail. Let's turn to Matthew 13 and verse 3. Matthew 13 and verse 3. And he spoke to them much in parables, saying, see, the sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some indeed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. And others fell on rocky places, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered. And others fell among thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them. And others fell on good soil and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. The greatest tests are yet to come. And if we can't endure what is put on us now, what will happen when things really begin to get bad? Will our attention be focused somewhere else? Will we be caught up in cares of this world? Will we whine and complain about how unfair it all is? Will we become a dead branch? Will we finally be put in a situation that causes us to give up? Will we be that seed that never rooted in and endured? Matthew 24, verse 9. Matthew 24 and verse 9. Then they shall deliver you up to affliction and kill you, and you shall be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many shall stumble, and they shall deliver up one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise up and lead many astray. And because of the increase in lawlessness, the love of many shall become cold. But he who shall have endured to the end shall be saved. He who endures till the end. I pray that we are all able to recognize when we are in a situation that Yahweh wants us to endure. Our tendency is to immediately look for a way out of a situation. And sometimes we are just grabbing and clinging to things in an effort to take matters into our own hands. Enduring is overcoming, and if we don't overcome, we don't grow. If we don't grow, then we do not become the people Yahweh wants us to be. And if we don't become the people that He wants us to be, we will not enter the kingdom, because we will not have endured until the end. May we all endure to the end and live to see our Messiah returning in power and glory. Amen. Bo Yeshua. Yivarekeka Yahweh, Vayishmareka. Ya'er Yahweh panav eleka, vihuneka. Yisa Yahweh panav eleka, v'yashem laha shalom. Yahweh bless you and protect you. Yahweh make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Yahweh turn back His face towards you and give you shalom. V'shem Yeshua HaMashiach, in the name of Yeshua the Messiah. Amen.
You have been listening to the weekly Shabbat teaching of Congregation Beit HaEmet, brought to you by HaEmet Ministries, where we encourage you to rethink, relearn, and return to the pure word and way of our Elohim. For more teaching, resources, and information about HaEmet Ministries, please visit our website at www.haemet.org. That's www.haemet.org. May our Abba bless you richly throughout this coming week and guide you into His truth. Shavua Tov.